Lamb and Egg Supply and the Family Vision Center in Atlantic. This is Bob Devensee along with, well, we got a guest in today. Grant Jelly is here, as usual. He's a conservation officer for Cass-Nadir Counties. And Adam Gakey is with us, and he's a conservation officer for Pottawatomie County, or Eastern Pottawatomie County, I would suppose. And I got to have a title too, the outdoor director for KJAN. We're all meeting here together with a high powered program. This is going to be a good one today. Adam, welcome to the program. You live over in Walnut, right?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Pretty good. East Pottawatomie County has got a little bit of everything in it.
Yes, it does. Yep.
Let's talk about some things that are happening almost as we speak. Well, the nice weather is going to be good for our bird population. Grant, you had a good success story down in Adair County.
Yep, I did. As we talked before the show, the mild winter that we're having and the spring, I guess you can call it spring. It really hasn't showed up yet, but it should be pretty good for our upland bird population this coming spring. I was down in Adair County over the weekend, and I guess I'll leave it an unnamed location. But just
he could keep that one quiet.
Yeah, I may, you know, you never know. But just cruising down the road, and I saw a rooster pheasant, and stopped to look at him, and there was 12 more flushed with it. So it's always good to see a mix of, you know, adult roosters and hens, and you know they were probably starting to make preliminary breeding plans, I would assume, for the upcoming nesting season. So yeah, we just got to keep our fingers crossed that we don't get a really wet spring, because mm-hmm. that can be one of the hardest things on upland birds and wild turkeys for that matter. So they've made it through the winter thus far. Let's hope the spring continues to be pretty mild.
You bet. Let's continue talking about birds and the turkey season. Well, it sounds like a long ways away, but it's not, particularly the youth version.
It is. The youth season will be coming up here in Iowa before we know it, so we kind of wanted to just, you know, lay out some details about that in case anybody's been wondering. But the youth programs or youth seasons that we have really been popular in the state. Not only do we have them for deer and turkey, but we've got the pheasants and a whole variety of other youth seasons that are available to youngsters. So the youth season for turkeys this year will begin on April 8th. And it'll run all the way through April 16th. And that'll be for youths under the age of 16. They can hunt on with either a gun or archery methods. But one of the things that they'll have to keep in mind is they'll have to have a properly licensed adult with them to be out there pursuing turkeys. So youth season should be good. And then, of course, when youth season ends on the 16th, it'll be followed right up by the season one for regular turkey season, and again that starts on April 17th. So my favorite time of the year, and I know there's a lot of youngsters out there that really look forward to youth turkey hunting, so we encourage them to get out there and enjoy the outdoors.
You bet. When you said properly licensed hunter with them, that means you've got to have a turkey license. That would be correct, Adam?
Yes, it would. They have to have their hunting license, habitat fee, and then they have to have an active turkey tag and license for one of the four adult seasons as well, mm-hmm. in order to mentor a youth. The other option is if the youth already has his hunter education, he can go ahead and purchase his hunting and habitat as well.
Okay, very good. What do you have for habitat over in East Pottawatomie County? Are there a few turkeys running around?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few turkey over the winter and early spring this year, particularly over closer to the river over on the hills. There's mm-hmm. a lot of turkeys. And then northern, I guess it'd be northwest Pottawatomie County, I've seen a lot of turkeys up in the hills, up in the woods. They're starting to become more active, you know, as springtime approaches, getting excited. So hopefully it'll be a good year for us.
Mm-hmm. Weather doesn't affect them too bad unless it gets really horrible where they can't get any feed. But as far as everything else, they can stand a lot.
Yes, they can. Yep, they're very, very resilient birds.
Yep, they're resilient. They're smart. They've got eyesight that won't quit. If they had a sense of smell, they would be unhuntable.
That is true.
There'd be no way to bag one. While we're talking about your part of the country, the results are out on the chronic wasting disease testing that they did. 4,879 tests were made, and only 12 of them come back positive. And you had, I don't believe in your county, but over on the river, there were a couple.
There were a couple over in Nebraska. We haven't had any in Iowa in this area yet. So that's a positive thing. It is in Nebraska, so we're obviously, watching that because obviously it could come across the river. And then we did have the positive ones in the northeast part of the state. So, but we got a really good compliance this year with hunters. A lot of hunters were calling, wanting to turn in samples from their harvested deer. A lot of concerned citizens were calling, making sure that we got the samples we needed. So it turned out real well.
Mm-hmm. So. There's two things they can do to kind of help things along, get rid of the bait and the salt blocks and things like that, so you don't congregate the deer, right?
Correct. Yep. Chronic wasting disease transmits through deer-to-deer interactions, particularly, saliva and stuff like that. So if we can get rid of the salt licks and things like that, it would help at least slow the spreading of it. Mm-hmm. So,
and it can also, Bob, it's not just, bait that can spread the disease, but one of the things that hunters have to keep in mind is after they harvest a deer is really when, that's a time that you can really put a stop to the spread of the disease. One of the things we recommend is not disposing of carcasses just, out in a field, because especially if they've come from one of these CWD rich zones, because another deer could wander across that carcass, and these prions that actually spread the disease can be in the soil for years and years after the deer's death. So we recommend that they bury them, or don't transport your the brain and any brain matter or the spinal column across the state, or particularly into other states. Or even worse yet is when hunters come from out of state and they've harvested a deer, say in Illinois or Missouri. They both have CWD, positive wild white-tailed deer. So we want to make sure that we're bringing back just boned out meat or skull caps that don't have any brain matter on them.
Mm-hmm. So we don't scare everybody to death. There's nothing wrong with human consumption of these deer, right?
There isn't, no, and that's one of the things that we always kind of preach to people whenever there's a disease like this in wildlife is, first question we're always asked is, can I get it if I eat an infected deer? And the answer to that is no. However, if you have one that is positive and we've verified that it's positive, we don't recommend eating it because we don't want to take the chance, Mm-hmm. So it's not something that you have to, keep your kids inside for just yet, but it is something that you have to, kind of be mindful about the spread of is the most important thing.
Okay. Speaking of keeping the kids inside, Adam, you've got an event happening pretty shortly over in Pottawatomie County, and that's the off-highway vehicle park opens up, I believe, the 1st of April, if I'm not mistaken. That's got to be a wild place to be.
Yeah, yes, it does. Looking forward to experiencing it. It opens up the 1st of April, like you said. I know our parks crew has been working tirelessly, battling the weather and the conditions, trying to get the park usable. So, but he said they're opening April 1st. After that, any closures will be listed on the DNR website for any routine closures or anything like that. But I know it's been a long time coming. I get constant calls about it, so I'm finally excited to have an answer for everybody, and hopefully everybody can go out and ride safe and enjoy the park.
Okay. What kind of vehicles can they use in there, Adam?
Yeah, they can use, four-wheelers, dirt bikes, anything like that. What they got to make sure they have is a registration on them. They have to be registered. If you're coming from out of state, if you're coming from Nebraska or anything like that, you have to have a user pass. And you can purchase the user pass at any license vendor. So, the Bass Pro Shops, Walmarts, anywhere you can buy a hunting or fishing license, you can purchase them there. And we just ask that, everybody follows the rules, be safe, wear your helmets, and, don't ride double, things like, rules like that. But mm-hmm. Otherwise, enjoy it, and it should be it's well needed in the community, and so hopefully it'll go smooth.
Yeah, I would hope it would be. Number one thing, you're supposed to stay on the trails. Good luck with that. If you got a, what kind of terrain is it? I guess I've never asked that question. Is it flat, kind of hilly, or what?
It's got a little bit of both. It's a river bottom. The little bit I've been down there, it's been very sandy. There's definitely some mud holes that people can enjoy, and they've been working real hard to put the trails in. It was it was recently logged, so there's a lot of kind of that material still down there. Mm-hmm. And then material that the flood brought in as well. So they've been working tirelessly to clear the trails, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it.
Okay, what do you use when you go in to patrol that? What kind of armored vehicle or what?
it all kind of depends on the situation. If it's an ATV or in special circumstances, we can possibly truck, or it all depends.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, it's a good addition over in that part of the country, and I'm sure a lot of people really use it.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You bet. We came to the end. Go back and talk to Grant a little bit. The end of voter education week. It was an opportunity for people to take a 6-hour test. I thought that was a lot, but there was a lot to cover, and people need to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, they do, and I think we talked about it last show just a little bit, but with the warm weather approaching, especially, we get some of these 65, 70 degree days, and all of a sudden people start thinking about fishing or taking the boat out and testing it and whatever the case may be. But, sometimes we see people kind of in their haste to get out there and get the boat on the water, they kind of forget some of the important things that are not only recommended, but a lot of times they're legally required. So, one of the things that we probably start to look for when we pull up to a lake is we make sure that all the boats on the water are properly registered. That's something that, you can't drive your car down the road with expired license plates, so it's no different for boats when they're on public waters. Safety equipment is probably one of the most important things that we stress to people when they hit the water, particularly when they have kids involved. You want to make sure that you have a personal flotation device for everybody on board. If the boat's 16 feet or longer, you want to make sure you've got the Type 4 throwable available for them. If they've got a 10 horsepower motor or bigger, they need to have a fire extinguisher on board. So those are just some of the things that we'll definitely hit on and make sure that people have. And I think I mentioned this last time, you want to make sure that your equipment is not only there, but that it's proper and it's not negligent, or has fallen apart. I've seen, some fire extinguishers in the last year that people have shown me that they probably could have sold on eBay as antiques, So you want to make sure that they're good, they're charged, make sure that life jackets aren't, dry rotted and full of holes. But, again, this is stuff that you really got to go through and encourage folks to give us a call if they're not sure of what they need. You can go to our website, and all the requirements are listed there on the boating safety portion. So lots of information out there, and it's something you got to pay attention to before you hit the water.
Okay. If we had more time, I would ask a question of the fire extinguisher for a motor 10 horsepower or more. What's more dangerous about a 10-horse than a 5-horse? Maybe we can just leave that for...
We'll have to research that one, maybe. That's a good question, I guess it has to do with the fuel consumption, but, it's never a bad idea to have a fire extinguisher on board, no matter what size motor you have, sure. Especially if it's one that uses gasoline or other fuel mixtures. So, why not? If you're in a boat and it catches on fire, that's going to be a bad day. And a fire extinguisher, before I jumped out and got wet, I think I'd like to have a fire extinguisher there to try out at least.
Really? So. One other thing, camping reservation for July 4th will be available on the 31st of March. That's a week away, not quite a week away, so you can start planning ahead for that. Good program, guys. Adam, good to have you over. And
thank you.
Grant, it's always a pleasure having you in.
Yep, we'll be back.
For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, and, he's in Atlantic. Lyman, of course, is in Lyman. This has been Bob Evensy along with Grant Jelly and Adam Gackey, Conservation Officer for Pott County on this morning's Conservation Report.